discussion based with whoever would show up, members of the public. Perhaps once we got the first on into the agenda. Oh, now we're at forum.
Right.
We were just about ready to leave.
We were not.
This is Shane. This is Roberta Stebbins, who former chair of the budget committee, on the current budget committee. CPA now?
Not quite.
Pass all four parts? Product of SOU. So we were talking about what we have up there. So our first order of business we thought might be on the 18th would be to take a look at ambulance services. Do you want to
speak to that?
Yes, our group work, yeah.
So one of the things that the council has talked about and the budget committee talked about at this last budget cycle was the ambulance service and the large ambulance service area that the city of Ashland has, and determining, well, let me just step back a little bit. So this last budget cycle, and this is just a recap for everyone, we found ourselves in about a $2 million deficit in the general fund. And we had an administrative services director, Mark Welch, who sort of led us through a budget process where we did kind of two things. We made service cuts, meaning mainly people, and we also increased some fees. So in terms of the fees that we increased, we are levying our full allotment, our full levy now. We hadn't been in the past. We increased an Ashland Fire and Rescue wildfire safety fee that's on our utility bills. So we looked at those two in terms of additional revenue. And then we made some cuts. We cut in the general fund. We cut a position in community development and some commensurate materials and services in ComDev. Police, we thought we would have the money for four new police officers. We had hired two. We still had two vacant, and we eliminated those positions out of the budget. In central services, then in fire, we reduced overtime by $100,000, and we reduced their materials and services by about $100,000. In central services, we reduced one position, a risk position, and we redistributed that work. In administration, we had a vacant communications officer, and we eliminated that position. So those were like vacant positions in the budget that actually had revenue attached to them, and we eliminated those. And all told, plus or minus, that yielded about $2 million or thereabouts. But during that process, I think everyone came to the realization that moving forward, we needed a plan to be able to have a sustainable budget moving forward. We needed to look at a variety of things, both potential revenue sources and expenditures, and looking at expenditure reductions. And through that process, one of the things that the budget committee and then subsequently the city council looked at was the ambulance service. Because fire and police are two of the largest, at 16 and 18 million or thereabouts, over 15 million for those departments, they're expensive departments. And And I'm not saying that they're not worth every penny that we spend on them. I think they are. But we have to recognize that, you know, we couldn't go on kind of status quo and have a sustainable budget with PERS escalating the way it is, with healthcare escalating the way it is, with a variety of these costs for us. So, you know, the city council moved forward with this ad hoc committee and sort of a revenue group that is not an ad hoc committee. It's kind of it's an official group, but it's not a public meeting per se when we meet. And so looking at, I kind of thought we had about, I knew we had three things that out of the budget process were probably going to come to light here, and that was the ambulance service, PERS, and healthcare. Now, there may be things on these lists that we can do a lot about, and there may be things on this list that we really can't do much about. But I think learning about those costs and what they are and why they are and what it looks like projected out 10 with PERS out to like 2036 when PERS is supposed to level off, I think is good because having us, it forces us to do that analysis, which we really kind of hadn't before. And then it educates you and gives you a picture of sort of how we can sort of become sustainable in just, and also looking at the challenge of being sustainable when these costs keep going up. And we see no sort of, we see an end in sight, but it's going to be pretty painful to that end, honestly. So, Dennis had said, you know, let's look at ambulance first. And maybe one of the things we could talk about, if we just talk about the first three, if you agree that those are the first three that we would kind of tackle, maybe we talk about what it is you'd like to know, how we could go about analyzing our ambulance service versus a private sector ambulance provider, because that's what it would be if we didn't provide ambulance service. Likely a private ambulance provider would provide it. It might be Mercy Flights who provides ambulance service to the north of us, but it might not be. It might be another ambulance company that exists, because we have others that exist here, down here in our area.
Interject. Yeah. Just to put it in the proper, in this proper place, the county. Our decision is going to come up in 2021, I believe, on whether or not we bid on the ambulance district or not. It's the county who decides who does all that. So when we're talking about ambulance service, what we talked about internally and then what we talked about as far as the budget committee and the council goes is we're not here to make a decision on the ambulance service. We're here to help inform the council and the community on what the full costs are, the relative costs, what something different might look like, and compare and contrast is kind of the idea that we've been tasked with. I just thought I'd throw that in there because we don't have to think of ourselves as making the decision yay or nay on the ambulance service. What we really want to do is inform ourselves so that we can inform others as to what the elemental decision points are as we go forward.
Right. And so one of the things that I thought we could do today and maybe take those top three is kind of have a round robin discussion about what it looks like, how you, because you're a lot of you, accountants, finance people, while you may not know all the nuances of the ambulance service, we could talk about what it would look like to analyze an ambulance service. What are some of the quantitative or qualitative measures that you would want staff to bring back to kind of look at and analyze? One of the things that Dennis and I had talked about is possibly bringing in Ashland Fire and Rescue to talk about what they think the measures we should be looking at are, and possibly bringing in a private sector, maybe Mercy Flights, to talk about what they think we should be looking at as measures. And I thought that might be interesting. I actually talked to Dennis about bringing them in at the same time. I'm not sure we want to do that, but I think having them come to us because they know their business, and it would be interesting to hear from both entities to see what they thought would be valuable measures for us to look at. And we could actually schedule that for the 18th, and that might be a good way to start. We could start talking about what you all think might be good measures. I think it would be valuable to have them tell you what they think of would be good measures, and then staff can do some analysis. Because it's going to take, once we figure out how we're going to look at the ambulance service, it's going to take us some time to gather the data that we need.
You look like you're...
Well, I'm still new to all this. You all have had your heads in this so recently, and I'm rather archaic in where I'm coming from. In my mind, and I'm such a numbers person, that I guess I would... To educate me, I would need to see what it's costing us now. Okay. How it's broken down between ambulance and fire, basically. And if we did not do the ambulance, well, it would save us. But then what would happen if it went to somebody else? And I'm not quite sure what you were saying, Dennis, about the county would hire this other party then? Is that what you're saying? We would not. It would be up to the county?
Our district extends beyond Ashland.
Right.
So it is a ambulance district. I don't know what I'm calling it right. But the RFP, I think it goes in on RFP, I'm not sure.
December 28th.
Yeah, but so they do it on RFP, mm-hmm. and people respond. So it's the county that actually makes
so,
the decision.
So once, if we said, no, we're not going to run the ambulance, we wouldn't be involved in
it. You might not just put in the bid, or we say we're going to bid. And that's
right.
Kind of what we're going to help the council and the community make the decision on.
Let's say we didn't put in a bid. How would the citizens be billed? How would they get the charge for this? You know, because, all right, they're not going to pay for it through the way they do now, but they're going to pay for it somehow. And I don't know how that, would that be on a county bill? Or
That is why you bring the in-area competitor, if you want to call that, is Mercy Flights.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you bring Mercy Flights in. We have them tell us how that works.
So we don't know at this point.
Well, we know.
I think they bill. But I think what I would, I think at this point, what I would prefer is because we didn't come with a bunch of answers to what we thought might be your questions. Really, today, I was hoping you could, just like you're doing, I mean, you're saying, okay, let's look at the cost breakdown between ambulance and fire and to see how it's broken apart. What would it look like if we didn't have an ambulance service? And what would that look like to our fire department? Okay, so we can, you know, look at that. How do citizens, you know, get billed? Even a basic question like, does the city have any influence over any of the practices that this private sector ambulance service might have should the city not want to participate as an ambulance provider?
There's going to be quantitative and qualitative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I don't know, one of the things we would really need to look at would be what service we would be giving up. Excuse me, especially response time.
Service.
I mean, I think in our community is something that's important.
And I agree, and that's why we bring them here to make their case and to tell us how that works.
Okay.
And this is our thinking. But that's an important question. I think it's an important question that our current ambulance service would suggest that they're going to be better about. So, I mean, that these are going to be the points of, for lack of a better term, competitive decision points is how do we make this decision?
A couple things. First of all, Pam, we need to understand the service levels and as best we can, it's very qualitative. And then, it's not just cost, we have revenue from this too.
We do.
So understanding, you know, when there's revenue or we may lose cost, and what's the, you know, if you looked at the ambulance service somehow independently of fire, how's it doing? And I never really had got a firm feel for that during the budget process. How would it do as a standalone business? And the other thing is the operational changes for fire. In other words, are they going to roll to some but not others? And how does that change the cost for the fire department? Because in theory, if you're going to get the ambulance service totally privatized, then we're down to just fire with very qualified EMTs. But do they roll as a secondary, or, you know, what else could happen operationally?
How does it all work?
And we're not answering any questions. I'm not answering any questions. It's hard for me not to, but I won't.
And one of the things you'll reach out once we determine whether it's the 18th or however we're going to do this. If we do 1 hour of Ashland Fire, 1 hour of Mercy Place, and however we decide to do that, you'll provide them with some of these questions that we've asked ahead of time as well, so that they can address them.
My thought is that the first time we invite them, we don't invite them to give a presentation on what they do. We invite them to tell us what they think we should be looking at, both of them. Because here's the reality. If we were looking at them as private sector businesses, they're going to be competing for this market share. And they know a little bit about each other. Probably they know some of each other's strengths and each other's weaknesses. And so when they come, they can address or highlight data or qualitative measures that you should be looking at that maybe have us delve deeper than we might if we just had them come in the absence of any information from them.
If we're going to have Mercy Flights, you mentioned that there were other private ambulance companies. Should we not invite those those also?
I don't know. The one that's in Grants Pass is AMR, and I don't know if they have even expressed interest or even know about what's going on down here, if they even would be interested. But I can look into that. I thought we could use Mercy as an example of a private sector ambulance service. Mm-hmm. That maybe there were some nuances with other private sector ambulance services, but they were kind of all probably had a similar business model, and they could be used as just an example.
Mercy Plus is just is a not-for-profit. That is not a for-profit company. So there's some nuance there, which has to do with fundraising. They also have both the flight section and the ambulance section. So they tend to be the other option in the area. But as Kelly says, we'll use them as a measuring point for whether we justify when we look at the cost. And what we're saying here is the full cost of our ambulance service, trying to ferret that out in some way so that we can look at it on paper, to Roberta's point as well, so that we can see what the costs are associated with that, and then how those costs are explained, justified, etc. And then utilizing Mercy Flights, not as we're putting one against the other, because we don't even make that decision, even as a council, but this is an example of if you do it by way of general fund expense versus if you do it by way of private company, and what are the relative differences between those.
I just had a thought about the billing fee. So if I called the ambulance service tonight and I didn't have a prepaid plan with our ambulance, wouldn't I get a bill from the city? I mean, from fire? Because I use the ambulance. I had myself taken to the hospital. That's not just paid for because I'm a citizen. So there's a billing going on right now.
Right.
So the interface, it's more of an interface. It's a customer service interface. If somebody's going to bill whoever gets transferred.
That's the theory. So we do have to take a look at what is the income on this? What is the expense on this? That whole picture, what does that look like?
It's really the net.
Yeah. You're right.
We have to compare the net
operation.
Right. The full picture.
Well, it's interesting because if we were to go, and I don't know if there's a hybrid in here somewhere, but if we went totally to Mercy for ambulance service, would there be zero cost to the city and zero revenue? So now we're breaking even where we might be losing money or making money with the current model.
That's what people from Mercy Flights will say.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. That's why we have to have them. I'd like to have that in an open meeting and a discussion and have their answers to that, because it's easy for people in the community to come up to you and say, well, Mercy Flights wouldn't cost anything.
Wouldn't cost the city anything. That's what
Right.
It might not cost the city.
That's what they mean. It's not going to cost the city anything. It's going to cost individuals something. And what is it going to cost them? But they will maintain that it's not going to cost the taxpayers anything.
Right.
Okay, so that's their pitch.
Mm-hmm.
As I've said to people who have said that to me, they've said this to them, it's a no-brainer. I go, and I say, in Ashland, there is no such thing as a no-brainer.
Well, it's a service level issue.
We have to take a look at this and lay them side by side and see what it is we're willing to pay for. Ashland may be willing to pay for its own ambulance service at the level that it is now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. Well, I think we have to educate the council. We have to educate the community. Well, that's why we need to do that.
And it's not even necessarily a service level issue, because even if they have the same service levels and Mercy Flights cost zero to the city, there could be more cost passed on to the individuals.
Right.
And we're not, as city, going to necessarily decrease their tax burden at that same rate that they're now being charged more for Mercy Flights. So maybe with our own ambulance service, it's more spreading out the costs of the ambulance, to everybody.
Some self-insurance.
Right. But again, I mean, we don't necessarily...
So a question is, are we billing at market rates? Do we bill about the same amount as Mercy would have done?
Right.
They're coming to get us.
Well, I think you touched on something a little bit earlier, but this is slightly different topic. But right now, if I remember correctly, whenever an ambulance goes, a fire truck goes with it.
That's right.
If a Mercy Flights ambulance went, would a fire truck still go with it? Or because Mercy Flights doesn't seem to need fire trucks wherever they go now,
would they call one for a particular incident?
Right.
That's what she's done. I don't know what that means.
Would the fire
it's
always...
It's our fire... I have a retired fire chief from the Bay Area across the street. the way I understand it now, it's basically a policy of our fire department to roll that equipment. And the way that Dan explained it to me from where he was, Davis City, it's a team. And so if they go out to do something and then you get another call, they all want to go together. And so there are reasons that we don't see behind some of this policy. Why is it a good practice?
And having had some individual discussion with nurses like along these lines about this, and they need to come and talk about it themselves, the truck still rolls on most calls.
The Ashland trucks.
In Medford as well. We're in Mercy Flight District. Basically, they're still, the fire department, as I understand it, is still rolling for most of the calls. I think they are now ranking calls A, B, C, and D. And Brent probably knows this better than I do. They don't roll with calls that are call A or something along those lines. But again, that's got to be, that's been told to me, and I go, okay, that's interesting. You're going to have to come and sit and answer questions and make the case for that to the group. So I have met with representatives of both sides of this system, whatever that's where it's basically to lay out what we're looking for and what we intend. We don't know where we're going. This is not a story that's got a pre-described end to it. So
yeah. I have a few things that I had thought about. So one of the things I thought about was turnover. So if you have, presumably if you have new people coming on and turning over, you can probably expect a certain level of service. If you have people, at least my experience is, if you have people that are seasoned, that have been doing it a while, you probably get a little bit different level of service. So turnover to me is a service level indicator. And then I would want to see how both, and I'm saying this truly because I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer about turnover, and I don't know the answer about how they do their, how they physically locate their ambulances. So what I do know about some is that, you know, they'll have a call. So here's the station, but they have a call out here, and then they go to the hospital. And instead of coming back to the station, they might be out here or something like that. And how would that work? How does it work now in Ashland? How would it look like it would work if a private company came? Because we manage our ASA, and that's where we respond to calls. But having a, especially using Mercy as an example, having an entity that covers a bigger swath of land than just our ASA, how would they be moving people around? And if they're moving people around, are we guaranteed to have anyone here? Because right now we are. I mean, generally, unless frankly, both ambulances are out far into the hinterlands. But like, what's the percentage of that? And how would that look? Because I think that gets to service level.
Mm-hmm. You could use a map.
Mm-hmm. I wrote that down, a map of the ASA.
Well, is there some hybrid where we maintain a reduced fleet or something in case there was a disaster?
Even at this point in time, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're backing there is some backing each other up that does happen. I mean, they're not leaving. So even now, they work somewhat with each other. So they're not just, right.
But I think that would be, if right. That's the case, we do have, if you could have it on a map and show like little ambulances going, here's what it looks like in a 24-hour period. They're going out here and here and here, let's say in a month, and you can see how often we are backed up. Then you could get an idea of what would be the likelihood of a company whose area is from Eagle Point to the border
How are they going to do that?
It's a big issue.
Yeah.
When you talk about versus less. The other thing is operational costs from them. I mean, how do they go about their machinery, their upkeep, mm-hmm. how they use it, all that type of thing, compared to our, along the same line, what we're doing, mileage, all that kind of stuff. As you were talking about that, I thought about that.
Comment Jim made was interesting because he was referring to policy of two rolling at once. And that's certainly been an issue for a long, long time that I've listened to. Is there a chance of the way it is, but just changing some policy to be more less expensive?
I think that's one of the things we want to put our finger on as well. In other words, not just to use the easy one, if we have the same, we don't roll the big trucks with every, when I sprain my ankle, although if I sprain my ankle, I do want the big trucks. but, I mean, you know, so, I mean, there are.
Well, and, you know, obviously I've just heard on the street, and it usually isn't correct, but it seemed like the senior homes are such, aren't always call if someone falls, and then two roll for that to help that person out. And I don't think that's true in other locales, that there are other retirement homes where they don't always call when someone falls. So I don't know if we could part of our recommendation might affect policy, or if that's not something we should.
No, that's exactly what we're.
No,
we want as deep a dive as we can possibly get until we hit the bottom of the pool.
And we don't drown.
Yeah. So would we think that would be something, as I'm looking at listening to this conversation, would we want to bring people in next meeting and hear from them, and but you would not get us numbers until after that? Or if you want, I guess the other way of doing this is to get numbers and then you bring people in. Are there two?
Could we do the same both at a meeting?
We can.
We need two separate meetings for numbers and for people, or can we?
Well, but I think what I'm asking is, can we get the numbers by the 18th? Or do we want to, if we want numbers, I would say, before the meeting, bring them into the meeting, have them talk about it. So I'm saying the same thing. I'm looking at staff to answer the question of whether the numbers that we would compile for our present costs.
Aren't they already there in the budget?
They are, but it's they are there. Some of them are independent, and some of them are,
right,
you know, a little bit dovetailed, and so it's really parsing them.
But don't they? And in the book, the old book, you know, if you had a percentage of a employee year, that cost would go there.
Yes,
it was very detailed, mm-hmm. as I recall.
It hasn't changed really.
And the income was there, and the expense was.
Yep.
There.
We have that too.
The trick part of this, just to speak to it, is it, can you isolate just the ambulance?
I think that's going to be, I don't think it's impossible, but I think it's going to be challenging, and I think we're going to have to make some assumptions. So, you know, we would say, we made these assumptions, do these sound, these sounded right to the fire department, how do they sound to you? What I could do is I don't want to give up on my idea of having them tell us what we should be asking them, or we should be asking the other party, because I think it's going to be important. And I think from a service delivery perspective, it's going to be really important. So one of the things I could do is I could take this list that you have, I could put it into a document and send it out to you. You can take a look at it, add anything you thought of between when you get this and now. And then I could send this on to our fire department and Mercy and say, these are the questions that they're looking at, that we're looking at right now in terms of doing our analysis. Would you suggest any further questions? Because in my opinion, it's really important that we get all the data and the correct data, because if we were to decide, or not decide, we're not deciding, but if we were to do this analysis, and this analysis leads to this recommendation, and this recommendation leads to we're not going to provide the ambulance service anymore, and we don't vie for it anymore, and it goes to someone else, it will be very, very difficult to get it back. It becomes cost prohibitive, is what happens, because eventually you sell your rolling stock and you don't have the people, and so it's a really important decision. So I just want to make sure we're not missing anything, because I would hate for, like I said, I just want to make sure we're not missing anything. So that's why I want them to tell us what they think we should be asking, because what they will do is they will key in, they will make sure we ask questions that don't let the other party escape.
That's fine. It does sound like we'll have them back again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So if I'm so you would suggest on the 18th that we have one hour, another hour, see what they have to say to us,
mm-hmm.
Based on our discussion here.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you'll pull numbers for us, and just make sure that one of the things we want an eye towards is a product at the end of this,
mm-hmm.
so that when we take a look at the numbers, it's not just that we're unknowing of the numbers. I mean, we've been through the budget process; they are in the budget, but now we're going to pull this out. So that when, as we proceed forward, our workflow will contain this snapshot of what we have. So that's why I'm interested in getting the numbers pulled out,
mm-hmm.
and trying to get to as true a cost as we possibly can for the ambulance service for action.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that we get economies of scale because we're able to use people in two different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're going to have to make that adjustment in some way. And that's going to have to be, at some point, our work to sit down and kind of discuss that. And you're suggesting that we would do that after we've had them come visit us, ask them questions, have them tell us what we should know, and then we would, again, go back to the ambulance thing, turn that around, and see where we're at that point, and whether or not we need more information from them. Is that kind of...
I think you could do it... I think you could do it a couple different ways. You could... We've developed this list of questions, and let's say there's some more. We get the questions from them and what they think we should be asking each party. We send out the questions to them and say, we need you to provide us the data. And then you look at the data, absent their PowerPoint presentations and whatever else. We look at that data, and then you have them come in. Or maybe you get the data in advance, and then they come in, so you're ready to ask them some questions.
The second time, I'm not sure.
So instead of them coming in next meeting, let's say, where we may not have all the data,
right.
I would say, why don't you give us an opportunity to get you the data, and then they come in. Because then you have your tee up with all their... Yeah.
That was my preference.
Okay.
I thought you had wanted to do it differently.
No.
So, putting all my stock in life is, but I prefer, I don't know if everybody else prefers to have the financial information. The way we can look at it, even have the meeting on the 18th so that we are all on the same page, understand the numbers that we're being given, something along those lines. Okay. And then subsequent to that, whether it's the first meeting in October, is when we would have this 2-hour, 1-hour, one hour the other.
Or what's wrong with doing exactly what you say, but then having one, spending an hour maybe discussing the data and then having either one of them come in for the second hour and then do the other one, the subsequent meeting, for an hour. In other words, we don't have to give up two full meetings to do this. And I don't think we have enough time to integrate, to ask both groups and then we have a good conversation in the 2-hour meeting. I just don't see that with others.
I don't either. I could see us going on to other items on the list on the 18th.
More planning?
PERS, healthcare. I don't know how much. I get what you're saying. We could have them come, one of them come on the 18th and one of them come on the first week of October, is what you're saying.
You know, as we're talking, it occurs to me that I, in my mind, see it as a three-way comparison, not just what we have and privatized, but what we have and can we change policy with what we have to bring it down budgetary-wise? Is that possible? Is it politically possible and legally possible, or by either raising fees, is that possible, or cutting policy? I see it as what we have now, can we pare that down and still basically have what we have now, and then the third way?
I agree.
Yeah, it's not a hybrid solution, or it doesn't have to be either or, it could be something. Mm-hmm. You could change what we're doing now. I was thinking more of it. Yeah, that's much better.
You talk about it. At some point, I don't know if this still exists, but at some point there was a standard, to your point, of we have service so that anybody in Ashland who needs help gets it in 6 minutes. I don't know if that's still a standard. But that's the kind of standard that will drive a budget.
Keep that.
Yeah, so you make it 8 minutes, and all of a sudden you release some constraints and all that, but that's kind of thing you're talking about. I don't know if it's a good
example. And just listening to Kelly when she said, you know, if we go totally privatized, we lose our stock,
right.
Basically.
No.
So this way might be an interim step anyway, and we certainly would gain knowledge by going this way.
I think again, the idea of Mercy flights coming in, I think there is public interest in it. One is driving that. I mean, there is, we do need to somewhat measure the two. But I think we're all cognizant of the fact that it's not an easy decision, it's not a no-brainer. And there is a lot of complication between the comparison that
and what I'm starting to hear now with the conversation is we need 2 or 3 cases, 4 cases where suppose we set the policy at where it is now. Is it 5 or 6 minutes? Do we have one?
Do you want me to talk about it? Like Chef told me not to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just ask that generally of staff then.
Yeah, we can.
We have a standard, even if it's not a firm standard. And what if we had a 5-minute, and I don't know what the longest possible acceptable time is.
Very well.
What? 2 days. You could have 5, 8, and 12 or something. See what?
Right.
That would be our cost.
Right. Yeah. So that's the kind of conversation that we have to have at some point. Again, we're not going to make the decision to go or not go on a bid.
Mm-hmm.
But once we get the comparison points and we're clear of that, the next thing is just what Roberta's saying here, is to take what we have and can it be adjusted
right,
some way to be more budget friendly, for lack of a better term, right? Don't quote me.
Well, and that's what we would eventually ask the community to tell us. How much, what are the trade-offs? So I just thought three as a consumer. One would be the response time is critical. The other is cost. And the third one is the quality of care.
Mm-hmm.
And the first two are pretty quantifiable. The last one, of course, isn't. And so then we go to the point of, am I better off in a mercy ambulance or a city ambulance? And how big a deal is that depending on what I'm being transported for? And that's a personal decision. So if this ends up being, this is what we do now. How far out could we go on the time standard before we, people start saying, wait a minute, I don't want to do that. And so that's the piece that the community input in.
That's the education.
That's right. So that's why I think we need to have specific numbers for two or three or four days.
Which is where we're at,
right,
in getting off and gathering all this at this point, having them come talk to us about how they do business on our side, their side, the whole bit.
But I'd like to ask both organizations, what would it cost for you to guarantee 5 minutes? What would it cost you to guarantee 8 minutes? Right off the bat, so we have that on the 18th, what would it cost you to guarantee 12 minutes? I don't know if they can give us a firm. There must be some rationale for them to, how quickly do we have to respond? If we have to respond in 5 minutes, we have to have this much equipment. I'm talking about the outside now. And we have to place it in certain places. But if it's only 12 minutes, well then, it's not going
to
cost you guys.
We can see what they have to say about that. I mean, one of the things that's come up is you can have, in response to your question, you can have an ambulance and mercy flights headed out. Maybe we do this here too. I just happen to know that they do this. And they're headed out to point A, and it's a relatively low priority call, and they're halfway there, and a higher priority call comes in, so they're diverted. So, I mean, that probably just makes sense.
Yeah.
But to your point, I mean, it I don't know, it would be worth asking how that whole system works.
And they may have metrics already on that. So if we just ask the question specifically, they might be able to tell us. It's a new business.
Yeah. That's what we want to do. So how are we doing so far with the 18th and the first weekend in October? If we did it the way Jim talks about it, we would have one of them come in the second hour on the 18th. Perhaps we would have the other one come in the first hour. I say the second hour on the 18th.
Mm-hmm.
In the first hour in October. And then we would have the second hour for a discussion period of what we've learned so far.
Well, I'm changing my mind already, which is I kind of like to look now on the 18th, let's say having an hour of ambulance data and an hour of further healthcare. And then having the ambulance people here on the same night, because it just makes sense to talk it through in one setting.
That was my thought. Oh, I was trying to accommodate you.
But use the 18th for more than one. And maybe data on more than just two things. Maybe we just get
If we can do that, we should be able to.
Yeah.
We should be able to. I mean, one of the things we want with PERS, if we're going to just move towards PERS, is getting, I've had conversations with, as I think others have, about can we figure out about where we're going to be with the PERS in 2 years. If we can just identify that better than we've identified in the past, with whatever changes that were made up in Salem, educating ourselves to how that's going to be positively impacted, if there was anything that is going to help us out. They suggested it, if there is, but getting to the bottom of that is elusive, at least in casual conversation. Maybe that's over here.
We can do that. We actually are working on that.
Right.
And having pretty good PERS data. There's some other data that we need to work on that kind of affects the PERS data. But at least we can have something. And what I thought we could do was, and I sent this out to the council a while ago, and maybe it was to the budget committee, I can't remember, but we had a video, there was a video that the Oregonian did on why we're where we are, which I think is valuable to kind of, I just watched it a couple days ago and sent it to Bryn and was like, oh, I'm so glad I watched that again because now I kind of have an idea. So maybe we can provide a little education, a little historical education, and then sort of where we are now with the new laws, how we think that might affect us moving forward, kind of things being equal. And so I think we can do a presentation on PERS at the next, I think we could do that at the next meeting and have some good data for you. Also, we can talk about at that meeting, just to, have you become experts too. So, someone might ask you, well, the state picked up, the state made their employees pick up their 6%. And so why don't you do that?
Oh, that's a very common. You hear that
all the time.
Corner of town.
Right. And so I want you to know what it looked like for the state to do that. For the state to be able to say politically, we made our employees pick it up. I want you to know how much it costs the state and if it costs them more than just that 6%. So those are things that I think would be good for you to know. And we can put together a presentation for you with that and get you that presentation a little bit in advance. And I think getting these questions out to the entities, I think they can get this stuff back within 2 weeks, but they are busy too, and so they may say, well, we can get this data to you, but we have these people going on vacation and we can't get it to you for 3 weeks. So I'll keep you apprised of how successful we're going to be in getting all this data back from them. Because it's a lot. I mean, what you're talking about is a lot of information, a lot of data. And maybe they have that all at their fingertips, but they may not. So we can do, on the 18th, we'll do PERS and data on the ambulance as much as we get. And if there's some to come, we'll kind of talk about that and adjust schedule. And then the first meeting in October, we'll have Ashland and Mercy as an example of a nonprofit or another provider come in and make a presentation to you on kind of talking to you about this data, and then you can ask some questions.
And is there room for health care on the 18th, or is that at least just a beginning?
Probably have some. I mean, what we can show you, what we probably would be fairly easy for us to come up with is our history, aside from the blip of self-insurance. I mean, so we have some good historical data, I think, that we can use and kind of talk about that. We can start with that. I mean, because we're also going to want to talk to you about collective bargaining agreements and all those things that.
If you can get inventory reports,
that'd be good for the first meeting.
So we have the next two meetings, really the next three, because I would think that the meeting of 10-2 would be. We won't call them presentations, but the two discussions. Probably on the second meeting in October, we're at a point where we're going to want to regroup from all that information and figure out next steps from there. Because about that time, we should be starting to take like the passion versus policy changes as well. Ought to be some discussion about along those lines. Does that make sense?
One other thought. Would you, and I don't know if they would be willing to do this, but we have two fire department, we have a fire department and a fire district that currently works with Mercy, actively now, Medford and Fire District 3. And so they have a real life experience of what it looks like to provide fire service with an ambulance provider that isn't them. Would you be interested in hearing from them? Like I said, I'm not sure they would be interested. I'm not sure politically or whatever they would want to do.
But I think that's very valuable myself, because what we're talking about is exactly that scenario of our fire department working with. So to have close by the neighbor doing it, I think that's very valuable.
So you would place that on the 16th?
Of October?
Yeah, it seems a little...
Could they not come at the same time Mercy does? And just have... Would that not be appropriate? I mean, they work together? Or one of them?
I don't know if they're going to feel...
They're not competing. I don't know.
Would it make a difference in how they approach things if Mercy plays in the room with them?
Or maybe it's just staff to staff.
Yeah.
You need to report whatever you need to report.
Or I'm wondering if the other way that it's sort of a third party is, the ASAs are managed by Jackson County Public Health, Jackson County Health and Human Services.
What's the ASA?
The ambulance service area.
Oh.
So all of these different ambulance service areas. And so... they're managed, I think, by Jackson Bowers at the county. And I'm wondering if he, because he's a third party and maybe he has some information. I don't know. Why don't I kind of go out there in the world and see?
I think it's worth pursuing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that would be the world we would be entering, not just the Mercy world.
Right. Okay.
Did you say, Dennis, and I'll say it anyway, that we might not want to worry too much about detailing the calendar out until we've gotten through one or two of these steps?
Yeah.
Because we need to see what's going to take.
I think that we have a pretty good calendar until we get back, whether it's on the 16th where we regroup and figure out next steps. But we know where we're going. We'll just have to figure out at that point what we've got, if we want some more, if we're going to get some more, and things like that. Does that make sense?
I just have one overriding question that comes to mind. Is the charge of this committee to get the cost down?
No. I think the charge of this committee is to educate and inform the council and to make recommendations. I mean,
nobody wants to lose service. We've got good service and nobody wants to lose it, but I guess I misunderstood. I thought that we were at a critical stage budgetary-wise as far as breaking even. And that we needed to pare down the cost of the general fund. And so part of this charge is the recommendation of how to pare down and what one would lose or not lose in so doing.
That to me is what defines what we're doing. Yes.
And I think accompanying that is also recognizing, is identifying what that margin is And then having the policymakers get to make determinations on, do you fill that margin? Do you not?
Yeah.
Do you go out and ask, because now you've identified what that gap is or what that margin is, do you go out to the citizens and say, this is what the margin is, do you want to pay for this?
How would they pay for it? You know, we're not saying, if we're maxed out with our tax, and...
But they're going to have to do, the answer to that would be they're going to have to go, they're going to have to forego something else.
Exactly.
For example, if you want to double the ambulance size, just to make it silly, you're going to have to go without all of this over here. So when we talk about how it fits, yes.
We can't just leave it one-sided.
Right.
You can't say, well, you're going to lose something and not say what that something is.
Right. So we have to educate the citizens of Ashland to understand the decision that they're going to eventually make. I mean, it'll be made somewhat through the council, but as we all know, we'll get a lot of robust input. So just exactly what you're saying is we know we can't stay where we're at. We know that we have to. One of the things that we'll want to take a look at is where does the general fund go in the next 2 years and the 2 years after that? I mean, that's part of the picture as well. But we all know that it's going to be very tight. And so, yes, we're going to have to make some decisions along the way. And we're here to help make those recommendations.
But I also want to address that there are, right, we are, you know, tapped out, we've maxed out our tax levy, we're up at the top, but there are other ways to generate revenue, and there's a whole revenue group that is kind of meeting to talk about fees, operating levies, capital bonds, those kinds of things. And so that's not necessary. I mean, there is, you... This group can say, we're recommending that there be cuts, or there's this gap and we're going to fill it some other way, or we're going to let the citizens of Ashland decide if they want to pay extra for these things to maintain these services. And so I think there's a couple different ways that it can be looked at. But that's not necessarily the charge of this group.
No.
This group is groups to identify
what
that all
says. Here's what we can afford within the present context.
Yes.
If we're going to take four police officers out of the picture, just to create an example, you hand that off to the revenue-generating people, and they will say, within the context of the levy or whatever it is they're talking about, they may make the decision that they're going to include that gap, and hopefully that's the way this works together. But ours is not to figure out how to get more money,
mm-hmm.
other than the natural growth and the
property values.
Yeah.
The well, I mean, we have essentially a balanced budget right now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't necessarily know how much we need to save or find for the next couple biennium.
We're working on that.
Okay.
To get an idea of what that actually is going to look
sure.
like.
And part of what we're doing here is to help inform them.
Right.
So next year, or I mean next plan, we don't know where necessarily that's going to be.
Right. That's what we want to anticipate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I did. Well, I did have a question about the PERS rates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the rates we have today are good for 2 years?
Yes.
Okay, and are there projections? What's happening then? Because there's some interesting things happening in our financial markets, particularly the bond market,
mm-hmm.
that could impact, I would think, the first revenue pretty heftily. But I don't know. So
what we can, what PERS has developed, and we took and used it a little bit as a model.
Mm-hmm.
But PERS has kind of a formula that you kind of plug in some numbers, and then it sort of pushes out this data for up until like 2036. But you're right. It's all based on these kind of assumptions that they've made. We took that, Ren and Cindy took that, and kind of tailored it a little bit to us and to maybe what we thought. Not giving them deference that they are due, necessarily, but looking at it. So we'll have some, we'll actually have the PERS numbers and what it looks like. That's actually hasn't been terribly hard to get. If all things remained equal, we kept the same number of staff, we did this, you know, and over time they got this percentage of increase in their cost of living and this and a variety of other things. So we can actually show you. It's quite astonishing, frankly. Even with, and Brynn has done some research on, the state has said, the state about, I think it was 2 years ago, the last biennium, the state created the ability to have a pool that you could sort of buy into with money and they would sort of match some money. But then they didn't allocate any money during that biennium to match any of the city's money. But they did this year, this biennium. And so we've been doing, Brenna's been doing some analysis, and we'll have that for you too, and be able to show you, you know, if we, this is the most we could put into this account, and if we put in this into this account, the state would match it. The state's match is, maximum is $300,000 for any city, which is, in the scheme of things, when you see the numbers, you will realize how small that is, but it's $300,000 nevertheless. So we'll be presenting, we can present that information to you as well.
More? Or have we come to a naturally concluding moment?
So long. That's 2 weeks, so. And that, and then we wait on, you know, finalizing how we're going to look at the rest of it. We're done.
And we'll get this out, and we'll put this on our little web page. We have our own little web page with all our names on it and all that good kind of stuff, and maybe even the video on there that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm. The first
and whatever else we do.
Yeah, we'll keep as much information. You know, we can put this information about the questions for the ambulance service. Mm-hmm. What I'll do is I'll get this just in a Word document and get this out to you so you can just take a look at it and make sure that I didn't misrepresent your question or, you know, I got everything right. And if you have any additional questions, but it's going to be a quick turnaround for you. I will do this tomorrow morning. And I will hopefully get something back from you tomorrow afternoon, because this is a lot of information for these agencies to produce. And like I said, not sure that they can produce it within less than 2 weeks, but I want to give them as much time as I can.
Is the webpage of which Dennis spoke on the city?
Yes.
Under,
we have our own
cost review.
Here it is.
Commissions.
If you go to commissions. There's a big list of signed cost review ad hoc committee.
Okay. Not the draft minutes up as soon as they're done to you, so.
Okay.
I don't know about the people.
And will they be on it?
Yes.
Okay. The people that didn't make it are going to be tempted to send you some questions. You'll have to decide.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you decide if they're within the context of. I had a meeting today. Not that anybody that's not here would do this. But I had one of those meetings today where we had a meeting 2 weeks ago, and we had a meeting today, and half the group was at the meeting 2 weeks ago, and so the meeting today was redoing the meeting 2 weeks ago. And without the input, so you have this opportunity. And to your point that we want to move this forward, we spent some pretty good time talking about it at this meeting here today. And actually in an open meeting, which would be part of the answer, maybe. I mean, I wouldn't want to say people couldn't include the questions, mm-hmm. but we would really want those questions to have been generated within the group, mm-hmm. in my opinion anyway. But I would leave that in your able hands.
I forgot about the fact that there were people that weren't here today. But what I can do, might have some time to do something today, or and so we'll figure it out.
Okay.
Like I said, I just want to give, in fairness to the
right.
agencies, give them right. most time that they can that they have.
I think that's
excuse me, I have not been on the webpage yet, so maybe it's already there. But can we have a list of the meetings, the dates, and the locations, since the locations mm-hmm. are...
And they're on the calendar, too, but I'll put them all, so it
okay.
should link
okay.
to that page,
okay.
regardless.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
What's the one, the 18th? Like, I'm really, interested in what Medford or the Fire District 3 would have to say.
Yes.
That would, you'd be able to, or you're going to attempt to provide that on the 18th, or?
You know, I am. I will talk to them about, I've met the chief of Fire District 3. He's relatively new. He's really seems very good. I don't know if the chief of Medford has retired. So I know him because I used to work there, and so I know him pretty well. It will just be interesting to see how public they, and I'm assuming they'll be fine, because I'm assuming everything's going to be great. The issue is, if it's not great, then do they want to talk about it? But I'll figure that out, and I'll hopefully be able to bring you back something.
And remember the county guy.
And oh yeah, and Jackson, right. And I know him too, so I can. So I'll talk to Jackson.
So that's how that was.
Yeah.
Well, they have a good question about that. Or
they probably would, because they probably would.
Thank you, everybody. See you in a couple weeks.